You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Ohio business machines and sharp copiers, when it comes to Browns fans, their loyalty for our team.
Unconditional.
You know it's unconditional. Absolutely, Nathan. So is the loyalty that OBM provides to its customers with OBM's exclusive no-risk guarantee and 7-year security blanket, teamed with OBM's designation as the only Sharp Platinum level service provider in town. So OBM can tackle any of your copier problems, and you'll never scramble to keep your office running. Never, Nathan. Never.
Never.
We're standing when we do this stuff. We're not scrambling.
No.
We're working with the copiers.
There's no need to.
And this is the preferred document services provider of the Cleveland Browns. So visit OhioBusinessMachines.com, please do, or call 216-485-2000. We endorse it because we use it. I mean, this is the stuff that provides all the documents we have sprawled here in our on the table here in our studio. All right, also in our studio is, he's not sprawled, he's sitting in his chair, thank God. A longtime friend does an incredible job of covering the National Football League on his camp tour and has actually his second day here in Berea is Don Banks from Sports Illustrated. Don, how you doing?
I'm good. I'm good to be. I'm glad to be with you guys both. I've heard about the studio, but I've never.
What do you think of the digs?
Oh, well, first of all, there's glass walls. That should tell you something. So obviously, the insulation was a little pricey, and they left it out.
That's a good point, but at least we get daylight.
We just want to invite people to walk by and stare at us, you know.
And they have to do the obligatory wave, Don, when they go by. Yeah. They feel obligated to wave.
And the waves never show up on the radio.
That's right.
They don't. Well, anyway, you've been here for a couple of days, and you've watched this team. We were asking you before you came on, and I couldn't recall if you had gotten here last year, but the fact that you are checking this out, and I know what topic one, what brought you here, Johnny Manziel, but while you're here, there are other things you're seeing in this football team. And my main thought with you is take us to the other things. What else about this Browns team is interesting to you?
Well, I mean, I think defensively, everyone understands that they've got a pretty talented nucleus. And when you add a Carlos Dansby and you draft a Justin Gilbert, who, by the way, is the most overlooked first-round pick in NFL history at this point, and you sign a Dante Whitner, and I think there's a lot of people ready to kind of jump on the Browns bandwagon defensively. And they have the makings of a Mike Pettine defense. And we saw it out there today. It was a pretty spirited practice session. I thought the defense clearly got the better of it. There's going to be a little orange jersey reward, from what I understand, at Thursday's practice.
Right.
But, you know, it seems like that's a unit that's got a little early mojo building, a little momentum. I think they have more talent than people who perhaps don't focus on teams that they don't think are playoff contention teams. They've already got it already accumulated, and they've had some nice drafts on that front. And then the other issue to me is obviously, do they have enough at receiver if the worst case scenario comes down for Josh Gordon? And just 25 minutes ago, talked to Nate Burleson, and he is a guy who's played with those special receivers, mm-hmm. Calvin Johnson in Detroit, Randy Moss in Minnesota. He knows how one truly special receiver can open things up for the rest of the crew. However, he brings up a very good point, and he said Seattle won a ring last year without really, you know, Percy Harvin out of the picture most of the season. They won with guys that people said, wow, there's no one there that really scares a defense. And Cleveland seems confident that if indeed they're playing the majority or all this year without, I think, one of the top two best receivers in this league in Josh Gordon, that they're going to get it done in Kyle Shanahan's offense with a little bit from a lot of different people.
Yeah, Miles Austin, Nate Burleson, two of the veterans, Anthony Armstrong as well, and we've seen Andrew Hawkins kind of shine. What was your sense of those receivers today? Looking at Miles Austin, I think you still have a little juice in your mind?
Yeah, you know, it's never about whether he can do it. It's about whether he can stay healthy.
Right,
You know, I don't know. I could be wrong. I thought he looked a little – when I saw him yesterday, I thought he looked a little bigger and sturdier in the lower body, and maybe that's designed to keep stay healthier with his legs.
Vic has noticed he's well put together below the
what
waist.
Is that right?
thank you for pointing that out, Nate.
I you know.
I don't know. It sounded better. It sounded more football-like when we talked about it before.
I'm not sure. Anyway.
Here's a guy I like. Charles Johnson. Now, no one.
I do, too.
No one really knows a lot about him, maybe, across this league. But I wrote about him coming out of college and thought he was a really intriguing kind of undrafted or late-round prospect. And I'll say this. When the Packers put their name on you, when their personnel department puts their name on you, you're usually able to play. And I thought that was a really nice, as I think it was Mike Pettine said, a nice poaching by the Browns, because you can't go into the season counting on a Charles Johnson, and he's still kind of, I think, on a pitch count with the knee. He took yesterday off, was back today. But he's a guy that, you know, he's not on the radar now, but let's flash ahead 4 months and see if he's on the radar.
He's got the clay to me. He's got everything you need to work with, the size, the speed. He looks the part. I think he still needs to kind of refine his game a little bit. Dropped a few passes today, I thought. But the good news is he's getting open. I think it's going to be good to have Miles Austin and Nate Burleson teach him about being a professional receiver. I think it ends up being good kind of have those veterans.
Yeah, and of course, we didn't even mention your tight end, Jordan Cameron, but obviously he is, you know, if Josh is out, he is the most challenging receiver out there for a defense to scheme against. And they might take him away some games, because he is such a threat, and that's when the likes of Nate and Andrew Hawkins and Miles Austin have to step up and fill the void.
Don Banks from Sports Illustrated joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Don, to talk about Mike Pettine, you know about him as a defensive coach. What about him as a head coach, and based on the background that you know, obviously, with his dad, but even more than that, more the NFL story of him as a coordinator and where he's been and the influences that have been around him. What sort of head coach do you think he makes?
I like the early reviews. I like kind of the way he's carried himself. Let's be honest. He told me the other day, it was like tongue-in-cheek. He said, what's not perfect about this situation? Rookie head coach, rookie GM, rookie quarterback, one of the most celebrated athletes in recent time. What could possibly go wrong, you know? but he kind of has the mindset, I think, that you need in that, you know what, I get all the noise and I get all the hype, but we're going to build a team the way I think you need to build it, and that is with focus on the field. And obviously there's been a lot of false starts around here in Cleveland in terms of the front office and the coaching front. I think they got it right, even though it took a long time and it was a little like watching sausage made, but I think they got this coaching search right, and I think he's a guy that can handle what is a pretty unique situation here.
I do too, and I think you get a sense already of the buy-in from the players, and I think the intensity in today's practice kind of shows that. How would you rate what you saw out there in terms of the intensity and the competitive nature to what you're seeing in other camps?
I thought there was a little intensity lacking at first yesterday, and then today I thought it spiked. And yes, tomorrow's a day off, and the players always, I do think, I agree, always have a little more juice when they know, you know,
tomorrow, right,
vacation's coming. But it is a good sign, because I think they need to build a little attitude, especially defensively. I think this team needs to kind of continue to kind of try to reflect Mike Pettine's attitude, and that is, you know, we're going to dictate rather than be dictated to. I saw plenty of attitude in Jets camp, although they weren't hitting yet. Bills camp, the defense totally dominated the offense. EJ Manuel and company looked really rough the night I watched them. But that Bills D-line had three Pro Bowlers. And we, again, getting back to Mike Pettine, I guess I've been on the Mike Pettine camp.
You have been, exactly.
Jets, Bills, and now Browns.
It's legacy.
I haven't hit the Ravens yet.
What was your impression of Justin Gilbert? This was had a very nice day, I thought, of practice today. He's going to be important. That's what Mike Pettine wants, those two lockdown corners on the outside playing the press man.
Thought he really showed up starting yesterday when the pads went on, made a couple nice plays, breaking on the ball. I think he gave Johnny Manziel a little trouble. And he's running with the twos right now. Screen is running with the one opposite Joe Hayden, but I don't think that's going to last too long. And I think when you look at the kid, you say, wow, that's the kind of body you want from a NFL cornerback. And he just seems to be kind of finding his feet now. But one, it's funny, you know, you can watch guys all off season in shorts, and then the pads go on, and the perception sometimes changes dramatically. And I think in his case, it's going to be for the better.
Yeah.
We're joined by Don Banks from Sports Illustrated and SI.com. Check out his great work there, covering the Browns training camp on his camp tour. So let's talk about Johnny Manziel. And you mentioned in your that was a nice little story you shared from Petten, like what could go wrong with the rookie head coach, the rookie GM, and this entity known as Johnny here. but about that entity and the fact that it has drawn more national coverage than this team has gotten in a long, long time. NFL Network's been parked out here, ESPN, all of them. How does that tangibly kind of play into either the pressure on the organization to get him out there to show, okay, we got this toy, this new toy, the shiny toy, and we want to show it off? Or because the perception I've seen nationally is to be critical of the Browns for its effort to keep the toy wrapped up and put aside and you know, not play into this whole mania over him.
Right. I don't agree that they deserve, you know, kind of ridicule for that. I actually think it's more on the smarter side of the spectrum. I think the inevitability of first-round quarterbacks playing in the NFL quickly has risen so dramatically since 08 on with Flacco and Matt Ryan. You can kind of draw a line. It has become so much the norm that people now just – you know, they don't believe when you say, well, we actually have another good quarterback and we're going to let this thing play out. We're all skeptics now. We all think, well, we've seen this around the league. You start off saying that. Then you hit a losing streak. You hit any sort of bump in the road. You're going to panic. You're going to throw the kid out there. But that said, I think people are underestimating, one, how good a quarterback Brian Hoyer is, how much they like him here in this building, how much they feel a comfort zone. To me, it's the smart thing to let Manziel get his feet under him, learn how to be a pro, be around it without having the pressure completely on him, and let it happen more organically. And I think that's what the Browns, not knowing firsthand, I think that's what the Browns are thinking and what they're trying to do. To me, for one, it helps you keep your locker room, because if the guys – in that locker room think that the kid earned his job rather than we turned to him because he had the label on him or we hit a losing streak, I think it's always better.
Can they pull this off, though? Because the key, you know what, we all know what the key is.
Yep.
Brian Hoyer has to allow them to pull this off.
Absolutely, yeah. And I don't know, and that's when the games start. We'll start finding out a week-to-week referendum on that. Can they pull it off? But my gut is they have a chance to pull it off, and I wrote before camp started my questions, you know, how long basically till Manziel time arrives, and I went against the grain. I don't think it's inevitable at all that he's week one starter. I think it's less likely all the time, and I think the preseason games clearly will impact that, so we could be having a different discussion in two to 3 weeks, but I think Hoyer looks really comfortable, and I think they kind of want Hoyer now. And if the Manziel era doesn't start till October, will that mean that Hoyer stumbled in September? Probably. But if I was to bet on it, I wouldn't have Manziel in September. I would have him at no sooner than October.
And do you think that the way that the schedule was laid out kind of also plays into that, opening at Pittsburgh, then New Orleans, then Baltimore as the first three games before the bye?
Yeah, I mean, to me, that favors the way the Browns are approaching it, because that's, you know, that's a challenging task for any quarterback, let alone a guy playing his first three NFL regular season starts. I think they're trying to give him a chance to succeed as early as possible, but I think their approach is, we're not going to put it all on him. We think we've made mistakes at quarterback when we went too soon in the past. I know they different brain trust here, but I think in general they think time is the better play.
So when the commissioner sits down, we understand it to be at the end of this week, to ultimately rule on Josh Gordon on that suspension, how much thought has he been giving, do you think, the commissioner has been giving, and the league itself, to the ridicule, the incredible backlash it has received over the Ray Rice two-game suspension for domestic violence versus, again, something that involves substance abuse and possibly even a technicality, whatever the heck the circumstances are, but it's substance abuse versus domestic violence. And that's really kind of the debate that's gone on out there, is that he blew it with the Ray Rice ruling. Does he try to – is there a makeup call here?
Is there a pendulum swing coming back the other way?
Do you think?
I think it's entirely possible. The tricky part is this isn't Greg Hardy and another domestic violence. That would be – oh.
And he was found guilty. I mean, that
right,
was –
right, he was legally found guilty.
Yeah.
So that's going to be allow the league to come down much stronger, I think, in that case. And then the people will shorthand it into, well, there's your makeup call. That's your makeup call for Ray Rice. I don't know. I mean, I think any ruling that looks soft right now, the league is going to shy away from. It's just human nature. And they'll say that they weren't impacted, and every case is we take separately and blah, blah, blah. But the reality is they do pick up on the public relations angle at New York. They may not overreact to it, but they're aware of it. They're by sending Adolfo Birch out the other day on the radio to basically – defend the decision. The first time you really go on defense, it shows really that you're somewhat sensitive to the criticism. I mean, if you don't have any fear that you did the right thing, you don't say anything.
And he was criticized for
I don't think that went so well either.
Yeah, I was going to say it didn't play very well.
Yeah, but so. I think my gut tells me that they're going to come down tough on Josh Gordon. One, the repeated nature of his track record. Two, in aftermath of Ray Rice, they don't want to look light on anything. But then you do have the different, you have the different examples of substance abuse versus domestic violence, and that may prompt the league to back off a little bit because they did get criticized. Wow, you think substance abuse is far worse than domestic violence.
Yeah, do you think that this could ultimately end up leading to some type of a change? Because we've heard about potential changes in the marijuana policy for the NFL. Do you think, because if he gets more than two games, and I understand he's a repeat offender, but the argument is going to be that, yes, getting caught smoking weed three times, how can that be worse and a multiple worse than knocking out a woman?
Yeah, I do think change is on the way in terms of the marijuana. I think that's just the way, obviously,
the country's going.
The whole social discussion is going on that front. And the league won't get out in front of that. They've already missed that opportunity, but they will react to that at some point. So there's a lot of slots on this spectrum in terms of the Josh Gordon decision. But from what I've talked to people in the Browns organization, because they have to, they really are bracing for the worst and hoping for something better than that.
Don, we appreciate you stopping by. Give me your itinerary. What's next in your travels?
I'm actually heading out for Latrobe in Steelers camp about 3 hours from here. Later this afternoon, we'll spend 2 days there. Then we're going to go all the way down to the wonderfully named White Sulphur Springs, West Virginia, where the New
Greenbrier.
Orleans
Saints. How about that?
I've never been there, and I don't exactly know what to expect. But
it's a pretty phenomenal resort.
The Saints camp. That became a must-stop. I know a whole bunch of NFL journalists excited when they heard about that.
How could it not be?
Well, I hear there's like a golf course, and I'm not really a golfer. So
there's three of them.
That does me very little.
So that doesn't do anything? There's good
very
food?
Little
there's
good.
A casino?
All I know, there's not really a close Marriott, so that hurt.
That's a writer's problem.
We are all Marriott.
We are.
Before we let you go, one last question. Where do you see the Browns in the AFC North this year? How do you see that division?
I knew I couldn't get out of the room without answering that one. I think, to me, 7 wins feels about like their ceiling, and with the caveat that if their quarterbacking is better than people expect and Hoyer takes off and plays kind of as he did or even better in his 3 starts last year, then that number could go a little higher. But it feels as if 5 to 7 wins. I do think they're an improved team this year. I think Patton's influence is going to give them the ability to hang in most games they play. But I worry that if Josh is out of there, that they don't have enough firepower to truly challenge with some of the other teams in the division. And so 3rd place feels like, to me, their max, and 7 wins feels like their max.
Great stuff.
Hey, I always mention this, Nathan. You probably haven't heard this. So I always loved doing Vic's show because I taught myself how to read when I was small, reading Vic Carucci's football books by candle. And look where I am today.
And look where it got you. Let that be a lesson to all of you out there.
So. Your two favorite. I know who your other favorite author was.
That's right.
Good old Lou.
Lou Sahadi.
Lou Sahadi. Hey, listen, thank you for joining us. And that little shout at the end is much appreciated.
You've heard it before.
Safe travels, my friend.
Thank you, though. Thank you.
He is Don Banks, and check out his great work, Sports Illustrated, sportsillustrated.com, his coverage of Browns camp and other NFL camps. You can do some comparative stuff as he covers the Steelers as well, and we'll see how that team is shaping up. We've got much more coming up on CBD. Travis Benjamin is going to join us. Charlie Casserly from NFL Network will also be with us on this Football Tuesday. Vic and Nathan on ESPN 850 WKNR.